turn for a minute to Acts 26. It takes a lot for me to preach this today, I'm going to tell you right now. But it's a necessity to understand. The higher you get in God, the more glorious it gets. There is no doubt about that. The more freedom, the more liberty, but the more accountability. And, you know, you heard higher levels, bigger devil. The enemy is just vicious, beyond vicious. And it's a time that we have to develop and create and nurture an open heaven atmosphere around our life all the time. Always. Amen. And we're going to see one victory after another, after another, after another, after another. We're going to get very skilled at victory, not just enduring. Amen. The days of enduring are over. We're not getting anywhere enduring. We're overcoming. Amen. That means you got to stand, praise God, and rise like victory's dream. You got to get that stuff up in the mountains because that's where it gets completely decimated. Can't just seal that stuff up here, down here. You got to take all of that up into the mountain, all of it. And God and the glory of God will devour it, praise God. Amen. So let's begin Acts 26. This is Jesus in an eyewitness encounter with Paul, and he's giving his testimony, but he said some very interesting things here. He says, rise and stand up on your feet, for I've appeared unto thee for this purpose. And he's going to tell him the purpose. To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you've seen today and the things which you will see hereafter. So he said, rise on your feet. You're going to be a minister. You're going to be an eyewitness of what I'm about to tell you, because this is what I'm going to implement in your life. That was verse 16. Verse 17. He said, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles. Watch this. And here's his message. And it's very clear. He says, to open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And here's what it is. To the lost, you're going to preach the forgiveness of sin. That's the only thing they're going to be able to hear. The remission of sin. You're going to preach the cross, basic remission of sin, but to the saved and sanctified, you're going to preach inheritance. The Lord told him personally, in person, he said, you're going to preach inheritance to those that are sanctified. The Lord Jesus told him that in person. That's what I want you to preach to those that are sanctified. To the lost, remission of sin. To the saved, don't bring them to the altar every Sunday morning to get them saved all over again. You got to preach inheritance. Teach them who they are. Teach them what I have done for them. And teach them how to access it. Where to access it. How to access it. And Paul's sitting there, I don't even know what you're talking about right now. But you will. And he did. And he left all this for us. Glory. So with that said, I want you to go back to Galatians 3. Now, I'm going to share something today that's going to change your understanding of what I would call the blessing of generational inheritance. When you hear that, most everybody just goes to finances. Finances is one of the 12 blessings that I have been shown. But that's the way we see it. Because we see it that way, we look at things in one dimensional. God's looking at it in 12 dimensions. Amen? Now, I need you to understand something. What I'm about to share with you, God didn't just promise this. He swore to himself he would do this. He swore. He didn't swear to you. He swore to himself. To himself. He swore. The Father swore to the Son he was going to do this. For him and for you. So not only are we looking at a promise here, we're looking at a sworn promise. Say a sworn promise. That's a whole nother level. Amen? Praise God. Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises, say promises. And not one promise, promises. Promises. Not one promise, promises. I'm going to give you 12 of them today. That what I believe are what's called the blessing of Abraham. There's 12 distinct inheritances in that blessing. 12. There are probably more. I was given 12. I like the number 12, so we stopped there. Praise God. I mean, you get one of them going and you're good. Amen. So he says, listen, now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. And he saith not the seed singular, but is a many, and choose to one, which is thy seed, which is Christ. So really, everything he was talking to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three of them got into it. All three of them received it all. It's amazing what God did with them. And then Christ inherited all of it. But he did that for us. And we have a God-given, sworn promise that he will do this. But he won't do it according to the law. He won't do it according to works. He won't do it according to human sufficiency. He will not do it like that. He will do it according to understanding, according to faith, according to inheritance, according to who we are, where we are, and where we're positioned in him. Say he'll do it again. And just so you know, I'll throw this in there. Verse 29, because I may come back to Galatians if I have the time today. If you be Christ, say that's me. I am Abraham's seed. And I am what? An heir. That's the first thing you got to know. You are a legitimate heir. And it really should read Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Christ, LaRue. That's the way it should be. And it should roll like that. It should roll. None of those men except Christ were perfect. But all that inheritance rolled down into them. Man, God reproved kings for them. They had it on them. When you get this on you, and the Lord said, your house, which is my house, must obtain this. Because it's part of your seed too. We have a seed. And when I say seed today, because we're going to get in the seed, I'm not looking at just natural seed, but natural seed is there. But spiritual seed. Amen. There are some things I'm going to challenge you with in this. God's going to challenge some belief systems. But God wants to do this. Not only he wants to do this, he swore that he would do it. That's a whole nother level, my friend. We're in the time of manifestation and demonstration now. And the enemy's, he's mad, but all he can do, he can roar. He can do a little more than that sometime, but we're going to win. Amen. Glory to God. We are the generation that will see the manifested sons of God walk in the earth. So we're going to go back and I'm going to be looking. You can have your Bible turned to Genesis 12, 17, 22, 26, and 28. Or you can just follow along. Because I'm going to pull from all those. Amen. I'm going to go into all 12 of these inheritances today. Now, understand what I'm about to say. You don't have to divide it all up into 12 because all you have to really do is understand what the blessing of Abraham is that incorporates all of these inheritances and all these promises. Because if you obtain the blessing, all 12 of them will show up in your life. Because all 12 of them showed up in Jacob's life and that dude was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. And God changed him. And he'll change us along the way. So we obtain this and understand what we're obtaining. All 12 of them are going to show up. And that's a lot. If all 12 of those showed up in this body right here, this whole city would be changed. I can just tell you right now it would be. It would roll out to the world. Amen. Let's just begin with Genesis 12, but then I'm just going to start here, and then I'm going to dissect and go into these different areas. He spoke it to Abraham. He reaffirmed it to Isaac, reaffirmed it to Jacob, exactly what he said to Abraham. He said to Isaac and to Jacob, and he did all three of these things in their life. He did all of this. Christ inherited all of it, and it's supposed to roll upon us. Amen? Genesis 12. All right, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country, your kindred, and your father's house. Sometimes there's got to be a separation to God. He goes, come to my house. Because someday you got to get out of familiar. God's going to do something with you. He's got to get you out of familiar. He's got to get you out of certain atmospheres. He's got to get you out of certain identities. Because you're not going to shift if you don't. You're not going to sit up somewhere that doesn't set a compass for you and expect to be walking in high places. You've got to be in a place that challenges you to walk in the high places that sets that compass. That's how you get there. You won't be there if you're not hearing that, listening to that. You have to be challenged. Amen. I will make, verse 2, of thee a great nation. What about this? What if a nation's in you? I will bless you. I will make thy name great. I have some things to say about that today. And thou shall be a blessing. You're not going to be a blessing until you get blessed. And that blessing has a whole lot more than just finances. That blessing has a lot in it. It has God in it. It has goodness, mercy, open heaven, increase, multiplication, favor, witty invention. And I will bless them that bless thee. He said, I'll bless you, I'll make you a blessing, and then I'll give you a power that those who bless you will be blessed. That's some serious stuff. It cursed him that cursed thee. We're not in the cursing thing. Indeed, here it is. All the families of the earth will be blessed. You have a family, raise your hand. You have a right to have everything he's going to say to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob come down upon you and your family. And that blessing, you have a God-given right for that to come down. That is generational inheritance. God is going to see to it. It's going to show up in here, upon our spiritual seed, upon our natural seed, upon our seed. He will apprehend your children because of what's on you. But I'm going to say this right now. Here's what the Lord showed me. He said, many people, they hear this. So I'll say it right now, and then you won't do that. Praise God. The first thing they'll do is, yes, you're going to bless my seed. You start believing God to bless your seed before you get it on your own life. Until you get it, you can't get it down. We have to get it. It flows down. He doesn't bypass. We receive it. We have to spend time. That's the hard part. It's so much easier to minister to somebody else than to minister to our own self. Because sometimes you think you're selfish by obtaining this, but if you don't get this, there's so many things that we're not walking in, that's not being passed down, that's not being freely inherited. So with that in mind, remember, you got to obtain it. Wow. You're praying for your children and your seed to obtain it. If there's anything God wants us to obtain, I'm telling you, one of the primary inheritances is the blessing of generational inheritance. And I'm going to tell you what that is today. Amen. And finances is one of them. One of 12. Put that in perspective. Amen. Verse number 1. This is probably more of a step than it is an inheritance. You must recognize, understand, and apprehend the position to know that you are a legitimate heir. If the Bible wrote your name itself in there, that's how much you're an heir of it. You have to read it as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Christ, and put your name and then putting your sons and daughters' names in it. You must know that you're in that lineage. You have been born into a lineage of royalty. If you want to put some royalty king in it, you can go Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Christ, and stick your name. Because you're born in royalty, a royal priesthood, a legitimate heir. And it has to be. And when your name is in there like that, that will come down upon you. You'll receive it. You'll function and operate in it. And when it's on you, oh man, when it's on, it's on. When it's on you, it's going to do something with everything around you. It'll provoke. It'll multiply. It'll increase. It'll get the attention of world leaders. That's what it did. Amen. Number two. Here it is. Here's one of the main, a number one inheritance that's going to happen in this house. And it's going to happen in our seed, The appearance of the Lord. Eyewitness confirmation and testimony given directly from the Lord himself. He appeared to Abraham four times. He appeared to Isaac and he appeared to Jacob in person. And he affirmed their word in person. And when you have eyewitness appearance and testimony, everything's the same. I was looking at Kevin Zedai the other day. He said, I am not a person who just got up and went. I am sent. When I go in somewhere, I've been sent because I've seen him. And I am giving people the words that he's given me in person. Man, that carries weight beyond weight. Because it's eyewitness. It's an inherited right that we have. And I'm telling you, when the Lord starts the appearance, that means seed. God. Genesis 17. If you look at Genesis 17, I can show it. Isaac and Jacob, God appeared to him in a dream. Jacob's ladder, the Lord appeared to him on top of that ladder, spoke the same thing he spoke to Abraham. But here's what he said to Abraham. He appeared to him in Genesis 17, verse 1. I just want you to see this appearance. You can go in and look at him. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham. That was his fourth appearance to him, by the way. Appeared. He appeared to Isaac. He appeared to Jacob. He appeared to Isaac when the blessing came upon him so much. Abimelech and Gerar made him leave. Remember that? Started digging wells, made him leave and tried to take over his wells. And God just kept giving him more wells. Don't fight for something that's in the past. God will give you more wells. There, God, there is unlimited wells. God appeared to him again. And King Abimelech ended up tracking him down. Look, I'm sorry. You know, you and I have been buddies for a long time because that blessing then walked out. As soon as the blessing walks out, those that are in the blessing, it dries up. It drew up so much that he had to go seek. Can you imagine a king bowing down? Kings don't bow to people. He bowed down to Isaac because that blessing was on him. The appearance of the Lord. Say the appearance. And the Lord appeared to him twice. Appeared to him. That's in Genesis 26. Appeared. He will appear. You want to know that that is one of the inheritance of the blessing of Abraham. The appearance of the Lord. To substantiate his message for you and your calling in the earth. And you have an inherited God-given right. To believe and know that that is part of what God's going to do. Amen. Number three. Ooh, this is a good one. Change of name. Identity. First of all, he changed their names. He said, I'll make your name great. I want to talk to you a bit about that. We're not here to have our name great. Listen. He's not here to make your old man great. He is here to multiply Christ in your new man. But you can't go, hey, this dude over there in Northwest Houston is over there teaching right hand of God. You have a name. You have a name that defines who you are, but it's Christ in you that he's multiplying. But it's your name when you get things right that he's going to put out there. But it's the Christ in you that he's putting out there. But you got to have a name. I mean, when you think of people's names that are out there, they're synonymous with their message. Kenneth Hagin had a name. It was faith. Nobody had a problem that God called Abraham Jacob. But when he starts your name, well, you know, I don't need my name out there. How is your message going to get out? How is what's in you going to get out?
They're going to identify. That's what he's saying to you. What's inside you? I'm going to change your identity. I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, Sarah to Sarah. I'm going to change you, Jacob, to Israel, to supplanter, and I'm going to make a nation out of you. That was a person's name. That God changed from Jacob to Israel, and everybody, Israel, he named a whole nation after him. He was a supplanter. He changed that identity. He's going to change our identity. Then he's going to put Christ in you. When he does that, people are going to start saying your name. It's not lifting you, it's lifting Christ. Because God's going to start multiplying what's inside you. It's called favor. One of the guys' names rolling right now, Kevin Zedai. Everybody talking about Kevin Zedai. Who do you think's putting that name out there? He's not putting his name out there. God's putting his name out there. Because God's approving what he's saying. He's ready to go. He's rolling. He's been appointed personally by the Lord Jesus. Every time I turn around, somebody talk about Kevin Zedai. God's putting his name out there. You're not going to go, oh, this guy that Jesus appeared to, what's his name? Well, it doesn't matter his name because we're not in the names. We just, Jesus appeared. He's got to have a name. It's part of his, how you identify. Don't get religious about it. Don't be unworthy about it. That's what he's got to shift is the unworthiness. He's not putting an unworthiness out there. He's putting an heir out there. When he gets the air out there, he's going to multiply. He's going to shift it, shift the identity, change the name. Then he's going to take Christ in you. And he's going to put it out there. But he's going to attach your name to it. Boom. See, I challenge you right there. Because somebody's like, well, I don't really need my name out there. Then what's inside you won't go very far. Because nobody is going to recognize the invisible Christ in you without your name in front of it. Amen. Well, just move on. We don't have to do that. You're going to have to do that. It's okay to do that. Listen, we're balanced in these things. We die with him. Old man dies. New man resurrects. New man gets multiplied. Old man gets dead. We die, we live. We can't live in dead all the time. I did that for years. Dead, dying all the time. Walking around with pins. How much I can die today. How much warfare I'm going through. Do you have any idea what I'm going through? You should just live in our shoes for a little while. Warfare is a part of it. I'm not going to major on that because that's not where the change comes from. I'm certainly not going to get in there and wear self-pity forever. I can't do that. I got to come out because the victory is not up in the self-pity and the victory is not down in the warfare zone. The victory is above. That's where we live. That's our identity. So yeah, we die with him. And yes, we get crucified. And yes, we go through things. But then we live with him. We live in the place of victory and glory and life and light. Amen. Now, all of this, by the way, when his blessing comes on you, you don't even have to believe for your name to get it. He's going to put it out there. He's going to put what's in you out. He's not putting your old man out there, by the way. He's not putting the orphan out there. He's putting the heir. And all of you are going to move, are moving now, are being in the process of being moved into joint heirship. And when joint heirship comes, you're going to get something. You're going to have something. And he'll put the name of your business out there. He'll put who you are out there. Angels will start multiplying it out there. That's what they do. Well, how come he's not doing it? Because he may not get you where you want yet. You may not have gotten to join air phase. And he's certainly not going to put the old man out there. My old man tried to get God to, do you know how many times I tried to get God to take that old man? Cause see, the old man wants the crowns. He wants the things of God cause he wants to live through the inheritance of God. And God said, no, we're not crowning that thing. Now you can surrender him and now we'll kill him. He can die, but he's not living. I'm not crowning him. Nope. God is sitting there. He'll get it right one day. He'll get it. I'm not crowning the old man. Why? Because the old man wants to circumvent the new. And God said, no, we don't do circumvention here. I put the inheritance up here for a reason. So the devil wouldn't steal it. And that means also the old man inside is not going to steal what belongs to the new man. God is going to take the old man down and lift the new man up. Get that part right. Amen. Fourth inheritance. Open heaven. Open heaven and angelic armies. Abraham had an open heaven. Isaac had an open heaven. Jacob had the open heaven with the angelic army. We've taught a lot into that, so I won't say a lot. You know all about it. I mean, he had the angelic armies ascending and descending. We have an inherited right for the open heaven. Christ inherited. So we inherit it. Say open heaven. It's part of the blessing. You walk in an open heaven all the time. You have angelic armies. When Esau came out against Jacob, I mean, Jacob thought Esau was going to kill him. And the angels said, they all come in, where's that verse? I don't know if I even wrote it down. They all came around him. I think it's in chapter 30. All those angels come around him, the whole company. He saw them. They were with him and they completely dismantled Esau. Esau was coming to kill him. And by the time Esau and them met Esau, hey, brother, what's up? That's like Saul. You remember he's going to go to the company of prophets, kill him. He gets in the middle of that atmosphere and he lays down naked and prophesies. I don't get it. But you get up in anointings, it dismantles. It dismantles things. Angels, when they show up, they dismantle. That's part of the open heaven. They're with you to keep it, to produce it over your home, over this church. That's why we're getting so much glory coming up in here. And we're just getting started. Because they're here. They clear stuff out. They do a lot of work that we spend way too much time trying to fix problems when they can come dismantle it. They can dismantle attitudes. I mean, Esau wanted to come and kill Jacob. I mean, Jacob was so afraid. He was squirming bad. And those angels showed up. And that was supposed to give his sign, hey, I'm with you. He saw the whole company with him. And he was still in fear. And God dismantled the whole army, Esau. By the time Esau just showed up and said, brother, they started crying and weeping. And Jacob goes, man, what was I thinking? Why did I get so emotional? When God's with you, he'll disarm things. Amen. Genesis 32, that's where that's at. I can't get into all this today. That's all in the angels teaching. Okay. Number five. Well, this is a good one. Go to Genesis. Just go to 28:15. It's better. He says the same thing. But I want you to see this. Genesis 28. This one, he was Jacob. These things are a sworn promise. Five. So we're going to look at Genesis 28:15. And he says, and behold. Now the Lord's speaking to him personally on this. Behold. Say, behold. I am with you, and I will keep you and protect you, and I will not leave you. Say, I'm with you. I will keep you in all places where you go. I'll bring you in this land, and I will not leave you. Say, I'm with you. I'll keep you. I'll protect you. All of that is conditional on you being with him. Amen. I'm with you. I'll keep you. I'll protect you. When you get in the high places, you start seriously leaning on that protection because we have no idea how much he protects us from because the enemy stuff gets so vicious in the high places. All he needs is just a little crack and but that's part of the growing up and the responsibility that we're having with God. But he'll keep us, man, when you're in the under the shadow of the Almighty and he's keeping you. He's protecting you and you know that he's protecting you. There's nothing like it in the whole world. Amen. So I'm with you. All that's part of the blessing. Say the blessing. Number six. This is a good one. Oh, these are the good ones. Go to Genesis 22:17. Oh, I like this. Number six. I will bless you and multiply you and make you exceedingly fruitful. He told that
to man when he created him in the garden. He promised and swore to himself in the restoration of man that I will bless you, I will multiply you, and make you exceedingly fruitful. Now watch this. He says this in Genesis 22. He says that in blessing, verse 16 says, by myself I've sworn. That in blessing I'll bless thee, and in multiplying I'll multiply thee as in thy seed as the stars of the heaven. I will. Now, who's he talking to? Christ. Who's he talking to? Christ in you. Listen, he is going to multiply what's up inside of us. And he's going to make what's up inside of us exceedingly fruitful. It's exceedingly fruitful. He's going to multiply and bless. What does that mean? Oh, he's going to bless Christ in me. What does that mean? Everything Christ inherited on your behalf, God has sworn to multiply. I'll multiply his love. I'll multiply his peace. I'll multiply his glory. I'll multiply his favor. I'll multiply his grace. I'll multiply his giftings. I'll multiply light. I'll multiply favor. I'll multiply joy and pleasure and freedom and liberty and rest. I'll multiply his righteousness in you. I'll multiply his blessings in you. I'll multiply his wisdom in you. I swear that I'll multiply him inside you, through you, and I'll make Christ in you and who you are, your God-given image to the world as a joint heir. I will multiply and make that man exceedingly fruitful. Exceedingly fruitful. He has sworn to do this. Because he could swear by no greater. He swore to himself, Galatians said, that I'll do this. He saith not the seeds of many, but of one. Now God is not a mediator of one. Now a mediator in Galatians is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were all these promises made. He saith not the seeds of many, but as of one. Now, Genesis 22:16 says, by myself I have sworn. Say, by myself. I've sworn to do this. Now, I'm going to show you what that means today. Abraham's seeds, promise made, not seeds of many, but who is he talking to? Christ. And you. Amen? And this I say, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which came 430 years later cannot disannul. In other words, the law didn't come in and disannul these promises because they of the law were not the inheritor heirs of this. It was the children of faith that were inheritor heirs, is what he's saying. You couldn't inherit this by keeping the law. Amen? Verse 18, for the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise. Wherefore, then serve of the law. I'm not going to get into all that because I don't have the time. It was added because of transgression to the siege come promise made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. I need Abraham. I need Christ. I need the inheritor heir. Once it comes to this Christ, it's coming through. Right? Now watch this. He said, now, I'm going to get some promises to Mr. Abraham over here. And your sons are going to get it. Isaac's going to get it. Jacob's going to get it. I need an Isaac. Come on, Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You can put King David in there. King David, come on over here, brother. All right, you got King David. Here's it is. All the body of Christ right over here. Abraham, here we go. Here's some promises. Your sons, Isaac, Jacob, David, they're all going to get on it. But who I'm really talking to is Christ over here. Right? And not only am I talking to him, I'm swearing to him because I can swear by no greater, Abraham. I'm going to swear to myself I'm going to do this. So Abraham, you and me, I'm going to call you up into heaven. And it's because you don't need to be chasing the birds away. I'm going to put you to sleep. And we're going to cut this covenant when I put you to sleep. And I'm going to come and make this covenant. But I'm going to call you up into heaven because I need your authority. But what I'm doing, I'm swearing through your lineage. Right here, I'm going to swear through you. Here's God. I'm going to come down through here. And I'm talking to that one. That's the one I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to go swear down through the lineage. But I got to get that one in the earth and then all those others over there. See that? Got to cut the covenant. Because I can swear by no greater, I can swear through you, Abraham, but the covenant I'm really making is through you to him. And who I'm going to talk to is him. So my father, I'm going to swear to seed singular over there, Christ,
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to bless you. And all these promises, you're going to inherit. And then I'm going to multiply you and all those behind you in all the nations of the earth. And because I can swear by no greater, I swear to you I will do this. I will raise you from the dead. You'll be the single solitary corn of wheat falling on the ground. And then I'm going to multiply you and all of them. And I swear that I'll do it. And everything we're talking about today is that blessing. So Abraham, you the man. God swore to himself. He already did this, by the way. You're not getting him to do something. He's already done it. It's already been done. Now God said, plug in. But believe that you're an inheritor heir going all the way back to Abraham. You're in a big time lineage. You're born of royalty. I don't care who you were born with, what stuff you came out of. You're not part of that anymore. God buried that dysfunction. And he raised you into royalty. And you're a royal heir of God. And I will multiply you. That's why when he's talking to Christ, he's talking to you through there. Yes, he's talking to Christ in you. He's going to multiply. He's going to make this house great. Can you believe that? Why? Because people need what's in here. They need it. I know what they get taught. They tell me. They text me. There's shifting of identity right now. The church is going to major identity shift right now. It's going to a massive identity shift. You're just going to do things the way we used to do. Why? Because God's calling everybody up. We're going to do it a new way now. I will bless thee and multiply you, make you exceedingly fruitful. Did you get that part? He swore to do it. When you go to God, say, you swore. But don't go to him, your old man. Go take your old man down first into the Jordan. Get him separated. Yeah. Don't stand there with the old man. You swore to multiply me. No, I didn't. I swore to multiply what's inside you. That one gets to die. But the one inside you does get to multiply. Let's get it straight. But I want to be multiplied. God said, I've already crucified you. That's why he's waiting, by the way. Part of you got to die. Now, you can go through the long route or you can go through the Jordan route. But there's things got to get out of the way. And God's got a big old sword. He can cut you right in half every day. He'll cut that old man. Just lay him down. And don't resurrect him. You don't even want to see my old man. We keep him down there in the grave, praise God. Watch this, verse 7. He told Abraham this. He goes, I will bless you. I'll multiply you. Then the blessing will get so powerful on your life that I'll bless those who bless you. Those who get contacted with you that honor what's on your life, the blessing will come on them. Like that. That's a powerful place. It's a real place. Now, some would-be people say that, and they'll get up in a place they're not walking in. They're just trying to get stuff from you, but they don't have the power to bless you. When the power of the blessing's on you, it'll get released from you, and things will start happening. But it's got to get on you. The Lord said, listen, before you start doing that, you got to get it on you. Focus and get it on you. You need my protection. You need my increase. You need my blessing. You need the angels upon you now. You need my government with you. You need to be fruitful in this time. Your words need to be fruitful right now. What's inside of you needs to go out. You can learn in 2 years if you just open the river. You know, that's where he received everything. He ascended the mountain. Where you're going is where he received every gift, every call, every ministration. It'll get on you. It gets you some. And when it gets on you, I want you to put your hand over your heart right now. And I am not talking to your old man right now, but I am talking to your new man. Say, Father, the world needs what's on my life. Even if I don't know yet, they need it. Amen. You have to start thinking like that. It's not wrong to believe like that. That is how God's going to increase and get who you are out there. Oh, this is the big one. In thee, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is huge. Your family, listen to this, will be saved, blessed, prosperous, whole, secure, walking with God. Spiritual family, natural family. It'll roll down. If you get it right with God, it'll roll out. God didn't bypass Isaac. He didn't bypass Jacob. I mean, anybody need to be bypassed him. He was a supplanter, a deceiver, everything. God said, no, I'll just name him Israel. I'll name a whole nation after him. Because I'm going to change him. I'm going to encounter him. See, because that blessing's on your family, he'll go encounter them. Send an angel where their head will be through the roof. When it's on you, he'll go after them. Because now they're in a blessing they can't get out of. They're in a blessing that's on you. They can't get out of it because automatically God's generation is going to start reaching down in and tap them. If he's got to send an angel scare of a devil out of them, he'll do it. To stir them up. It's part of it, but you can't go asking him. You can't ask him to do it, but you got to spend time getting it on yourself too. And that's what the Lord said. Tell them they got to get it before everybody else gets it. You have to spend time. And if that requires an identity shift to believe that, then get after it. Your family, that's a whole big blessing. That's when we say the blessing, that's part of it. Amen. Your seed will be blessed. Your seed will be fruitful. Your seed will multiply. Your seed, your natural and your spiritual seed. You are part of our seed. We can speak that and God will make you fruitful and multiply and raise you up. Your children are going to be blessed. Your natural and spiritual children are going to be blessed and renowned in the earth. God's going to make a whole nation out of some of you in here. If you can apprehend it, grab it and go for it and see it. And see it, it's mine. It's part of who I am. You got to grab it. Oh, here's a good one. 10th one. Kings. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Christ, LaRue. I do it all the time now. I am born into royalty. I have a king inside of me that's been wanting to come out. It's about time. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Christ, and to me, you have sworn that crown to me and my generation. You have sworn the crown of David to me and to my generation. And if I have to receive it, I'll receive it, but it's for my generation. You have sworn that crown. You have sworn the kings and priests will reign in the earth in the last days. A generation of kings coming right out of that lineage. How many of you can see that now? Abraham, kings will come out of your loins. Sarah, queens, you're a mother of nations. You're a mother of queens. You're going to give birth. That's what this house is going to do. It's going to give birth to a generation of kings that are going to walk the earth. But they're not going to be earthly kings or heavenly kings. They walk in a different era and aura of God. They don't do things the way the world does it. They don't even talk like the world. Number 11, nation will be blessed out of your seed. Some of you are carrying nations. Say nations. Nations are inside you. And they're going to come out and he's going to make you exceedingly fruitful. We have China here. We have all of South America here. You can just throw your nation out there. You're representing. And verse 12 is the best one, Genesis 22. You and your seed will possess and take dominion of the gates of the enemy. Woo! You and your seed will possess and take dominion over the gates of the enemy. That means we are going to take some dominion. I forget those things that lie behind. And I press towards the mark that God is good. And I believe every single word I preached. The devil may be wicked, but he is positionally under our feet. And the more we grow, the more dominion we'll take over. And this word will go out. And there is seed in this house that will take dominion over the gates of the enemy. God is going to give you gates. So that is your city. Cities. He's going to teach us how to draw circles. He's going to teach us how to do this. Every one of these blessings, you have a right to operate in your house right now. It has a right to operate in this house right now. It's going to get up into this city. Why? Because it's up in the DNA of this house and it's getting up in you now. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? Father, thank you. Don't go praying this for others and not apprehend it yourself. You have to spend time with you and your issues before God so you can believe every single one of these points. Every one of them belong to you, your household, your seed, your spiritual seed. Well, I don't have any spiritual seed. You will if you keep hanging out here. Because God's going to multiply it because he's going to give you something you ain't got. He's going to put something on you that's greater than you. When you say the blessing of Abraham, how many of you have that new revelation on the blessing of Abraham? That is the blessing of Abraham right there. It's not just money. It's all of it. It all comes in a big old package. Thank you, Father, for this day. Go ahead, Chris, for this word, that it multiply, that it increase exceedingly. You'll do it again. You'll do it again.